Cool. How are you all doing? You're all, I know, you're all in
fine.
You're fine. You coped being in that week of lockdown and then being back and with all the changing restrictions, getting used to them all. As usual, totally unplanned this morning, but communion particularly connected really well with what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I don't know about you, but I found myself a couple of weeks ago, my jaw hurt when I woke up. Could have been that. It wasn't. But I've actually found that during the night I've been clenching my teeth. And I don't know whether anybody else does. And the dentist has mentioned to me that I grind my teeth at night, and so they've offered me one of those mouth guards, which I did actually get one. However, my dog, for whatever reason, jumped up. It was little Ella. She's not allowed in our bedroom, but for some reason, she likes anything that has got our scent on. So dirty washing is one of her favourite things. But also, so was my mouth guard. But anyway, I just noticed that. And I realised that just possibly I might have a level of anxiety. And I thought, And for those of you who know me, you'll often find me sitting there with a finger in my mouth as well. And there's a few other things. When I get a little stressed, I get OCD, thank you. I wasn't going to say that one. There are various little signs to people. Hang on, the audience participation comes up. The mask was supposed to prevent that, okay? Anyway, there are a few little things. I was going to say that sometimes, I know my skin gets irritated too. I don't know what your signs of just a little bit of stress are. You don't have any. You're all perfect. Anyway, and I realized, yes, there's a few things going on, but I mean, generally, I don't know that I always realize that I'm stressed, but then I do realize certain things. I realize that note this language, okay? I am having a grandchild. I believe that my daughter-in-law is pregnant, but whichever, I am having a grandchild. It is all about me. And my granddaughter, which I'm going to be having next month, can't you tell? Anyway, sympathetic pregnancy. We'll all go after that. Yeah, I wish. Anyway, but I realised I'm kind of like, I'm a bit sad, to be honest, that I know that I'm not going to be able to get back to the UK and see my grandchild. And we've kind of like got this sense that it probably be, eventually it'll be, oh, thanks for coming to my graduation, or it'll be talk. This granddaughter will be talking to us well before we actually get to hold her in our arms, and all of that kind of stuff. And there's things, I get stressed about. Believe it or not, I get stressed about you guys. I do. I can't help it. I do. I carry that. I'm part of the responsibility. But there's other things too. Finances and relationships and responsibility in my work, also with Baptist churches. I'm on the some of you know I'm on the board of Baptist Care with that, and at the moment during COVID there's a lot of considerations to do when you're in the care industry as well, and there's lots of things dealing with that, and I carry a level of stress. Which, but none of you do?
No?
No. Well, I do. All right. So this message is particularly for me. So I needed to hear this message. So whether or not you do is totally irrelevant. In the same way that the me having a granddaughter is all about me, this message is all about me. You can get something from it if you wish to, but I need to hear this message. So it's for me. So I'm going to read a passage for you from Philippians. It's a short passage, and you'll know it probably well if you've had a faith for any length of time. And it says this. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." I don't know about you, but actually, even hearing that text, or even reading that text, does bring a level of peace just in itself to me. I do. I just get a sense of, oh yes, I remember. Again, particularly, I think if you've had a faith for any length of time, there are certain things that, you know, that triggers. It's a bit like smelling cut grass or something. There's or whatever it may be. There may be, you know, strawberries may remind you of tennis. They do if you're from the UK with Wimbledon and various other things. Or there may be, but this verse, just hearing it or just seeing it, just is like a, oh yeah, I remember, kind of text. So just briefly, Paul here is writing from prison to the church in Philippi, to the Philippians, and he founded that church. And he's responding to news that he's received from them and also a gift that they have sent him. The church is in Macedonia and is a very patriotic town, very loyal to Rome. And it's in fact somewhere that a lot of retired soldiers would go to retire. I don't know, just have a picture of that, you know, these retired soldiers. Do you remember when I was, yes, you remember the war, yes. All right. Don't mention the war, Mr. Mannering, yes, or whatever. Anyway. And the church there is under persecution because they were promoting the lordship of Jesus rather than the lordship of Caesar, which didn't go down too well in a place that was full of retired Roman soldiers. Anyway, as always, context is very important. This was not written specifically to us, but it was written to a church during times where there were things going on in the world, and so there are things that we can take from it and hopefully can, you know, enhance our lives a little bit. Our text there begins with a command to rejoice. Literally means to be joyful. And when it says rejoice, you can't tell in the English language, but in the Greek language it is plural. So it's actually saying, all of you, rejoice. You lot, oi, you lot, rejoice, be happy, have joy. In the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Why is he saying it again? Because he wants you to take notice of it. He wants them to hear what he's saying. And the emphasis is on the joy. You notice that? I mean, he didn't say, again, I will say rejoice in the Lord always. Or, again, I will say rejoice in the Lord. Or, again, I will say always. He says, again, I will say rejoice. The emphasis is on the word have joy. Good, yeah, I can see you all smiling. All smiling. I can, because I can only see your eyes, I can tell whether you're asleep or not. That's one thing I can do. But when it says, again, I will say rejoice, that passage or that place where it says that is actually saying, and I'm going to always say rejoice. It's actually the way that it's worded means, I'm saying rejoice now. Rejoice, have joy. But I'm also saying to you, always rejoice. Always be full of joy. So it's not just a saying, a repetitive thing. He's not just repeating what he's first saying. He's saying, I am joyful, or you should be joyful, but always be joyful. I'm saying it, always be. Choosing to be joyful in the Lord, not being swayed by circumstances, but being standing on the knowledge that you have of God. Because it is joyful in the Lord, because of the Lord, have joy. Because of who he is, have joy. It is a choice sometimes, who knows that, sometimes to have joy. I think a lot of the time, actually, there is a choice in having joy. Park your faith in happy. Even thinking about something as mundane, but something like having a granddaughter, am I going to let the fact that I can't go and see my granddaughter rob the joy of the fact of I'm having a granddaughter? You see what I mean? That's, you can have the joy, but then you can lose it because of, oh, what if, or, oh. And you can actually rob the very joy that you've been given. Paul then gives a very interesting command. He says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. Why? Why that?
Have you felt my gentleness?
No, I haven't felt your gentleness. Sorry, that came out a bit queer. Anyway. But why gentleness? What on earth has gentleness got to do with joy? Oh, we might work that out in a minute. It's talking about calmness. It's about being a non-anxious presence in the midst of what's going on in life. It's about not being harsh. It's about being respectful. It's about being polite. And the word, because it is not written next, but it could be. Because the Lord is near. That's why we have gentleness. And that's why you should choose to be gentle, because the Lord is near. He's not far away. We don't need to get worked up or lose our minds over things, because God is at hand. He's near. And it has two meanings. Yes, he's coming again soon. That's often what the term, because the Lord is near, because the Lord is at hand, is another way that this is written. But because the Lord is at hand, be gentle with everybody. Be gentle. Let the world see your gentleness. So, because he's coming back, which is the first meaning, calm your farm. It's a Scottish term. It's what I'm using anyway. I'm claiming that. Calm your farm. Everything will soon be put into its right order. Be at peace. But also, it means, of course it means, the Lord has everything under control. He has the victory. His power and authority are with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So his mercy and grace to face any situation is at hand, because the Lord is at hand. I think that's often hard to remember. And I think often one of the things I've learned as a Christian is to try and choose to think with eternity in mind. A lot of the responses, emotional responses that we have, even as Christians, fear and things like that, are based around our temporal life. We're afraid that we're going to die. That's the ultimate cause of all fear. All fear is based in the fear of death, ultimately. But as Christians, why does that dictate to us? Now, you hear me very carefully here. Some of you have experienced really awful things in your life, okay? And I'm very, very aware of them. But in a temporal life, let's say you have lost somebody very close to you, or a child, or a parent, or a brother, or a sister. That is a devastating loss, and there's no getting away from that, and I'm not trying to belittle that. However, if you look at it through eternal eyes, it's a very different response that we come to, or can come to, with when we're thinking with eternal eyes. So even some of the things that have happened, you know, in our lives, or some of the wars that we see going on, and the awful destruction, and these COVID, whatever it may be that's going on, and whatever you can think of, you will have a very different response to those things if you only use your lifespan as the basis for measuring it. If you're using eternity, you come out with a very different response often. And so I choose when I have emotions to actually try to put them as part of my meditation, as part of my response to those emotions that I'm feeling. I try to say, okay, God, show me the eternal value or the eternal picture, not just what it means today. And it's amazing how quickly a peace can come over you when you're thinking, you know what, in the scheme of eternity, it's actually, yes, it's important, yes, it's hurting me just now, but actually, it's nothing, because God is the God of eternity in there. So, as I say, I'm not belittling, I don't want you to hear that I'm belittling anything that can happen. I'm just saying your perspective changes when you have eternal thinking in the way that you are thinking. Now, there's something else to notice here. Have a look at these two phrases. Go on to the next one. Yeah. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. And then it says, let your requests be known to God. Paul's pretty careful with when he writes, and the fact that he's put those two contrasting things there is for a purpose, it's for a reason, which we should notice. So let your gentleness be known to everyone. So in the midst of tension, in the midst of whatever's going on in the world, your response is to be a non-anxious presence. Your response is to show gentleness to the world. Your response is to say, you know what? My God is in control. But you have permission to go to God in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So you can say, God, I don't know what to do in this circumstance. You know how my heart is grieving or how this is affecting me. But with thanksgiving in there as well, which is, God, I know who you are. I thank you that you already have the victory. God, I thank you that in the terms of eternity, you have this all under control. I thank you that I may not be able to see fully what is going on, but I trust that you can. That's thankfulness. That's being able to, you know, speak that out and actually to have the thankfulness. So to the world, to everybody that you're meeting, let them see your gentleness. Let them see the fact. You can, of course, they can still see you're struggling. You can't hide it. I can't hide, you know, when I'm struggling with things. Can I, Julie? And nor can you. Can you, Julie? No. We can't. We can't hide the things, particularly from those who know us. And sometimes with us, we've got little buttons, as we like to talk about, which, if pressed, engage a response. And you've heard us say, if somebody has pressed your button, remember, it is you with the button. They may have pressed it, but maybe if you didn't have a button there, just saying. Anyway. So, so Paul is saying, look, be gentle. The world needs to see that gentleness from you, even in the midst of stress. They need to see you at peace, at calm, not losing it. And why? Because you've gone to God with everything. And it's a two-sided thing. You know, you get the gentleness because you have gone to God in those things. And you have done so with thanksgiving and with yearning and with tears often. But the peace comes because you've done that. The gentleness comes because you've done that. In faith, you are rejoicing at his victory. And if you do this, if you have this kind of relationship with fear and of not just fear, but stuff that's going on, if you have this kind of relationship where you're taking things to God in prayer and supplication and you're allowing that to bring gentleness into your life and you're putting gentleness into your life and letting the world see that, which is in its turn giving yourself you're then going to God with those things and saying, Lord, I want to be gentle, but I'm feeling this angst. When you've got that going on in your life, what is the result? The result is, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the fruit of that relationship between gentleness and going to God in prayer and supplication, that it doesn't necessarily make sense. It surpasses all understanding. But his peace comes from doing that and guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I think the world needs this, particularly at this time. And it's up to us to model it. I'll be honest, I don't know that the church as a whole, not talking about CBBC, the wider church body, I'm not sure that we're always very good at modeling peace. Occasionally, I shouldn't do it, but somebody puts a link on Facebook or something like that, and I look at it and I go, really? It's Christians that are saying that, bringing a level of angst into people's lives that don't need to be there. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's my button. Yeah, maybe it is. So, then it goes on. Finally, beloved, whatever is true. All right. What's truth? Jesus. Okay. Where'd you get your truth from? Facebook. Google. No? I see a number of you getting your truth from there. Oh. That one. No. Really? Well, okay, that's easy to say. What about the vaccine? Is that in the... Show me in the Bible where it talks about AstraZeneca and about whether or not you're going to be tracked when you, you know, have the injection, how the government are going to be able to track you. I shouldn't have asked you. I knew I shouldn't have asked you. But, you know, you're going to get... It's untested. Everyone knows that, you know, all these vaccines, are just the government have just rushed them out and you're all getting it. How do you find your truth?
Doctors.
So you get your truth from the doctors.
Trust the experts.
Government.
No.
The newspapers.
No.
I know you've been checked. There is a... Sorry. She said... Yes, in a minute. She said that you go, you take it to the Lord and the Lord will lead you where the truth is. What were you going to say?
We find the truth from what Vicky said, but we also find it from prayer.
We find the truth from what Vicky says. Yes, that's that's a lot. She is. Yes, that is the truth because
Vicky said.
Vicky said.
We find our truth by going in prayer to the Lord. Mm. But we also find our truth because we then check it out with others.
So we go to the Lord, but then we check it out with others. And pray together. So it's not because 20 of my friends have put something on Facebook. So it must be true because...
Unless one of them was Vicky.
Unless one of them was Vicky. I know that's not the case because she's not on Facebook.
That's why she's not. You look at best evidence.
Best evidence. Yeah.
That are principles that are consistent with scripture.
So you're going on the best evidence that's there. There is scripture that there's a scripture that says, "By your fruit you shall know them," which is one that I'll come on to. So that's part of the conversation. Is look at the long-term fruit. I mean, I've seen a lot of people quoting newspapers or. Articles that have come up in the past, 6 months or year, when they're quoting, you know, news sources over and above some ones that, you know, we may have been around for a lot longer. And you've got to have obviously a little look at that. But anyway, who decides what truth is? John 14, which was a passage that... Phil gave us earlier, says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So, you are right. Jesus is the truth. John 16 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." So you're absolutely right. We can go to the Holy Spirit and say, "God, I'm hearing this, I'm feeling this, I'm sensing this. I don't know what to believe." And it says, the word says that the Holy Spirit is there to guide you in all truth. So one way that we can do is to learn how to hear and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And yes, you do that by testing it, by, you know, you've got friends, you've got people who you look at their lives and you think, I want what they've got. Certainly in my Christian life, I have got beside people who I've looked at the fruit in their life and I thought, I want some of that. I want that in my life. Satan is the deceiver. He is out to try and confuse and bring deceit wherever he can to you. You do need to work out where you are going to get your truth, because if you don't, you will be deceived. You'll be swayed, blown around like the wind. It's important as Christians that we are sensible about where we get our truth from. I do choose to get my truth from professionals who have been trusted over a period of time. There's always a few that will pop up and give an opposing view. It gets publicity, it gets clicks on, you know, on YouTube, which they get paid for, and they're very happy to do, you know, to have opposing views. But look at where the depth of, and I'm not just talking about COVID here, I'm talking about in any situation. Look from where the truth is coming. Look to the scientists and the professionals who have been trusted over a long period of time. But then I check it with friends whose opinion I have learnt to trust. People who I know the fruit in their life, people who I respect, people who I look at and they make sense to me when they talk, when they've got rationale about things, when I debate things with them, you can see that they have a high wisdom and moral compass and things like that. They're the voices that I choose to listen to, not an influencer on Instagram. Although, I did see that. No, it doesn't matter. I also run everything I'm thinking through the filter of what I know about Christ through his word. So although there may not be specific things about COVID, there are things about, you know, by your fruit you shall know them. What's the fruit of this person? There are principles that I can put into place to help me with the truth, help me learn and discover what the truth is. And I also live by the passage in Proverbs that tells me to acknowledge God in everything that I do. And if I do that, he will make my path straight. It's a principle I've lived by all of my life. Pretty much all of my life. It's a very early on in my walk with God was that a verse that has kept me not completely out of stuff, not by any means, but is certainly a truth that I live by. And when I make mistakes, which I do regularly, those same friends that I was talking about, they pull me back out and pull me back into line and say, really, you were thinking that? Come on, Daniel, you know better than that. I've had some good friends who have loved me enough to be able to do that. So look for the fruit of people or organizations that you seek truth from. Is it fear that comes when you read what they're saying? Or is it faith there? What do they have at play? Are there political motivations at play? I think you have to be very careful reading posts from, whether it's in the America, the Republican Party or the Democratic Party over here, obviously Labour, Liberal, whichever. Actually, from the parties, you can read it, of course, but always remember there is a wanting power, and the motivation is to get you to vote for them ultimately. On the whole, that's what whichever party they are. Look for the honorable, the pure, the just, the pleasing, the commendable. If there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I think this is actually really key to finding where truth is as well as finding peace, because peace, ultimately, the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, the knowledge that Christ brings is perfect truth. And with perfect truth comes complete peace. Because once we know who Christ is and fully understand the power that he has won, who he is, what he wants for our lives, how he orders things, the things he's concerned about, when we understand to the best of our ability what eternity means and is, that gives peace in our lives. So truth does equal peace as well. So look at these things. Look at the things that are just. Look for justice. Look for purity. Look for the things that is pleasing and commendable, which is partly this thing of speaking life, which you've heard us talk about. It's those are the things. You know, choose to speak life over situations. Don't choose to look for the negative. Don't choose to look for the conspiracy theories, for the negativity, for choose to look on the just, the pure, the pleasing, the commendable, that which is excellent. And if there is anything worthy of praise, think about that. And then it says, keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. It is a formula. As you're gentle, as you seek God's truth, as you take things to him in supplication and you know, with that level of, sometimes with the angst and going, God, as you take those things to him, it brings the truth, it brings the gentleness, but most importantly, it brings the peace as well. I honestly think in this time, in this age that we're living in, misinformation, lack of truth, angst is driving so many decisions at this moment in time. You know, how, you know, even like in America, how fear could drive thousands of people to go up to Capitol Hill and try to overthrow a government. But it's because of lack of information, lack of discernment. It's because of not having peace in situations. And there's things going on here as well. You know, I don't need to tell you. I don't need to, again, get political. But there's things going on in our society. Gentleness from the church. Peace. Taking things to God in supplication is so much better than liking posts on whether it's on Facebook or on social media and engaging in fear, engaging in things that ultimately, you know, even if they turned out to be true. Have a think about what that would mean does it change anything eternally? Even if the government was tracking everybody, even if that's what was happening, you know what? The word tells me who wins. It tells me what God has done. None of that changes anything as far as our eternal thinking is concerned. I want to have Christ's peace rolling in my life. I do want to stop having clenched teeth. I do want to stop comfort eating because I feel stress. I do want to do those things. I do want to be able to enjoy the fact I'm having a grandchild. I do want to be at peace over the decisions that we're making and having to make. That's what I want for my life. I want to be somebody who has gentleness working in my life. I want to be somebody who is at peace. And this passage, I believe, really does tell us, give us a formula for how we can get it. So let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you that you are the truth. You are the way, the truth, and our life, Lord. We thank you that your Holy Spirit comes to guide us in all truth. Lord, I pray for discernment. Lord, I pray that we would have peace and gentleness, Lord, as we go through our lives. Lord, I pray that we would learn how to navigate fear. It's the potential of fear is going to be in front of us the whole time, because that's what the enemy is trying to do. And we are going to be confronted with fear or anxiety in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd continue to work in us, to guide us in all truth, to bring peace, to bring gentleness, and Lord, until you come again, because Lord, this passage, your word says, you are near. Lord, and because you are near, we have faith. I thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray your blessing over everybody here, Lord. I pray for a really great week. I pray, Lord, for those people, particularly, Lord, in the other states who are struggling at this moment in time. Think of New South Wales, particularly at this time, who have got not so much hope of being able to get out of a lockdown, certainly for another month. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray for your mercy and your grace to overwhelm that state, Lord. And we ask for wisdom upon our politicians, upon our doctors, upon those who are guiding us at this time, Lord. And we ask for your peace to reign in their lives as well. In your name, amen.